Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. My first guest is Richard Casey from 4x4 North America. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
I am doing great. And you have a wonderful website, 4x4 North America, and that's the numbers 4 and using the X. So tell us, what is 4x4 North America all about?
Basically, we are the importer of extremely high-quality pet products that we've sourced from around the world, mostly from Europe. They're actually all European-engineered and designed pet products that have very exclusive and innovative features. And we're the importer for mostly the Western Hemisphere and North America on all these products.
I think the one that really catches my eye, because as you know, we travel a lot with our dogs as often as possible. We do crate them. We crate train them as soon as we brought those furry little monkeys into our household. So I'm looking at the Vero cage, which this looks so impressive. It's very high tech. So can you please describe what this is to our listening audience? They may not be in front of their computers right now.
Okay. In general, we import pet safety and travel products. That's our theme. And part of what we do is import crash-tested products. So the Vario cage specifically that you're looking at is the only crash-tested dog transport cage in the world that meets government standards, automotive safety standards worldwide for front, rear, and rollover impacts. And it's actually a bit more sophisticated than that, but in general, that is what the Vario cage is about. It's a crash-tested cage that protects the dogs, not just the dogs, but human occupants in the vehicle as well.
It's very, it looks very state-of-the-art, if I may say that, but it's heavy duty. It's actually beautiful, but it's a very heavy duty. It's not a wire type of cage. What is it actually made from?
It's made of steel, cold rolled steel, and it's been designed and engineered by MIM Construction out of Sweden. MIM has over 350 crash tested automotive safety products under their belt, as well as some equine safety products used by, in this country even for English style jump racing and things like that. So they are a very safety minded organization, and both of the companies that we work with, Klein Metal and MIM, are also the only pet companies that have full time pet safety, automotive safety engineers on staff. One was the gentleman at MIM was a crash scene investigator for the government of Sweden for a while. Then he was the crash test engineer at Volvo. And at Klein Metal, the other products that we bring in are designed by Klein Metal, and their crash safety engineer worked with Volkswagen for, I think, about 20 years. So the cage itself is extremely well engineered. It has made of steel. It has a rear escape hatch, because a lot of people don't realize that when you have an impact in the rear, and you may not be able to open your hatch. So we've designed a quick way for you to flip down your seat, get your dog out quickly, safely, and securely under your control. It has a built-in crumple zone, which is extremely critical, because not only will it not break the back seat, doing harm to any rear seat passengers or a baby seat or anything you might have in the back, but it will also prevent the cage from breaking, shattering, becoming shrapnel, becoming sharp, jagged edges. And more importantly than that, it's designed to contain the animal and absorb the energy of an impact. So the pet safety data we have from Europe, we have over 20 years of pet safety data, because the pet safety is a category in Europe. It really isn't a category here in the U.S. We're working to try to make it one. But the 20 years of pet safety data show that the largest loss of animals is when the cage breaks and the dog escapes through a broken window, jumping into traffic, endangering other drivers, themselves, or even the owner, or runs off into the woods and gets lost. So it's very important that the cage maintain its integrity during an accident, because if that animal escapes, then, you know, who knows what can happen. And so far, we're proud to say that the Vario cage has an 11-year perfect track record of safety with lots of accidents, unfortunately, under its belt. But fortunately, no harm to any human or canine occupant when using a Vario cage in a vehicle.
Well, congratulations on that. I saw an image on your website, which was very well designed, but there is an image after a crash that someone provided you showing the Vario cage intact. So, you know, a picture, as they say, is worth a thousand words, but, you know, it's not to be, you know, we don't want to have this a dark interview, but it's very critical for people that are doing a lot of travel or not even a lot. It's just taking care of our pets when we take them with us, whether, you know, we're going around the block or on a road trip. But I know you have other products, so could you kind of walk us through the other things and maybe name some of your top-selling products?
Yes, the Vario cage is certainly one of them. And the AllSafe harness, which is a crash-tested harness that we import from Germany, is also up there. The harness has also been tested worldwide. This has a 16-year perfect track record of safety. In both continents, all these products actually have had actual crash scenarios documented, both overseas, Europe, here, U.S. And the AllSafe harness is one of our best sellers. The dog walk ramp is also extremely popular. The ramp itself is one of the reasons, you know, when most people buy a dog ramp, they end up either being too heavy, too cumbersome. I know this is a situation I've dealt with myself, too awkward or in some cases dangerous. I've had stair-type ramps that almost sliced my finger off when it shut once. I almost got my finger in it. So, you know, what happens typically is people normally like to have convenience when they travel. That's a big part of what we look for. It has to be convenient, easy to use, or people are not going to use it. And that's a big plus for our ramp. It folds to 28.5 inches. It weighs 14.5 pounds. It's got a very smooth gliding action, opening, closing. And we also have other unique products, including some accessories for, like, the click and roll. We have that very unique crate pads that we also get from Germany that are hand-sewn that you can throw in the washer and dryer, which are nice because not all crate pads, you can take the cover off, but you can't wash the whole thing in a washer dryer. They also dry quickly in an hour. You throw them on top of the roof of a car on a sunny day, and less than an hour, probably in a half hour, they're dry, in case you have to hose them off in the field. But everything on our website, as you'll notice, is, and we have the traffic barriers as well on our website for protecting the human occupants from objects in the rear of their cargo space, to prevent them from flying into the passenger compartment. Mm-hmm. And the cargo barriers we have work with our Vario gate. Vario gate's a little different. The Vario gate is for those people who have multiple dogs or very large dogs, and they can't fit all their dogs in a Vario cage. So the Vario gate turns the back of your vehicle, the entire space of your cargo area, into a kennel for your dogs.
Yeah, we actually do that. I reminisce about years ago, two dogs that no longer are with us, but we had a van and we took the middle seat out and that ended up being their, crate on wheels. And this was quite a while ago before we were enlightened to the fact that it really necessarily wasn't a good idea to have them roaming around the car because they were big dogs and they ended up wanting to come up to the front seat all the time. But I applaud you that you've taken this, you know, to be your mission in life because, you know, people really need to understand, you know, what can happen, unfortunately, when they are traveling with their pets. And one last thing, because you do have so many great products, I'm curious to find out if you have any new products that you're getting ready to roll out.
We do, and before I mention that, it's important to note that when it comes to pet safety and travel, we are very genuine and we're very concerned about people getting the correct information and awareness about proper and safe pet travel. So all the documentation on our website can be downloaded, the test standards, safety data, crash test videos. It's fully documented and fully available to the public on our website. So we just would express that anybody looking to buy anything that is considered, that is being claimed to be crash tested, that they actually check the data, check the statistics, look at the test standards, look at the crash test videos. This is very important. As far as new products, yes, we're bringing out new products. Every year we develop and engineer and design new products. In June we'll be releasing the only crash-tested universal cargo barrier in the world. This will be something that will mount in any SUV or station wagon behind the second row seats, and it will actually be a crash-rated barrier for protecting front seat occupants from objects in the rear. We're expanding our VarioGate system with side rails to protect the windows on the side, so when you do turn the back of your car into a kennel, you will have the side windows protected as well to avoid the dogs from escaping out those windows in the event of any impact or a broken window during an accident. And we're also bringing out a Vario drawer, which has the same collapsible crumple zone built into it that will fit underneath a Vario cage, so people can have storage space underneath their cage. People who go to dog shows and agility and Schutzen, and that's a big audience of ours, and just pet parents in general, people going camping that need more space. So those are some new products that we'll be coming out with in the June, July of this year.
Well, that's exciting. That's very exciting, and hopefully you can come back and visit us when those products are out in the market, and we can talk about those as well. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thank you, Susan. We appreciate it, and thank you very much. And we would be happy to come back when we have some more things to talk about. Thank you.
It sounds great. For more information, log on to 4x4NorthAmerica.com, and that is using the numbers 4, and the X is between that, 4x4NorthAmerica.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will speak with an inventor who started his company in 1979 to benefit our animal friends. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Fido-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Hi, I'm Junior, Director of Marketing for Fido-Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for us dogs. I have the best job in the world, sniffing out hotels and destinations where they roll out the red carpet for canines and humans alike. To find out where I've been lately and to learn how you can travel like me, pick up a copy of Fido Friendly magazine at your local bookstore or subscribe online at FidoFriendly.com to find out what all the barking's about.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims with Fido-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is proudly brought to you by our good friends at The Honest Kitchen, where dehydrated raw pet foods offer a way to create fresh, natural meals for your pet in the comfort of your home. My next guest is Dr. Roger Mugford, founder of the Company of Animals. He's talking to us today from England. Hello, Dr. Mugford, and welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a great pleasure and a great honor to be here. And guess what? I just come in from lambing. It's springtime, and the little babies are popping out of their mums, and it's a great year, and it promises everything for the summer ahead, doesn't it?
Oh, I love the way you say lambing. Can you say that again?
Lambing. So I keep sheep. I'm on a farm. I'm rooted in the countryside, and it's what happens. And I just love this time of the year because the sheep are very forgiving, and they're very tolerant of, well, they know me as a friend. And sometimes you have to help them, and I think they really appreciate it.
Oh, I bet they do. It reminds me of reading the Harriet books where, you know, he was a veterinarian back in the day and talking about all the rounds he made to the farms all the time.
Yeah, well, I've got it right here under my nose. And, you know, the farm has been an inspiration for many of the things that need to be put right for, say, dogs and, to a lesser extent, cats in society. And one was, of course, that we lead horses by a harness, by a halter or a bridle. And so way back in 79, I thought, well, hey, maybe we should treat dogs like horses. That sounds stupid, people would say. But of course, it made sense. And I invented the first canine head collar. And that was absolutely inspired by my work with horses.
Well, that's why I read, I love looking at your website, thecompanyofanimals.us, and that you started your company in 79, as you said. And so was the Halty, was that the first invention that you brought to market then?
It was, but previously I'd been employed by a big pet food company called Mars, who hired me as a scientist to help them out and to do things for them. But actually, what we were doing was inventing flavor systems to make animals eat tin food that was containing more and more water, and I didn't think that was very ethical. So I ducked out of that kind of research, which was just profit, and really tried to do things that would help animals, that would be to the real fundamental benefit of animals. And really, that was the idea behind my starting a behavior therapy practice, to help individuals who were having problems with their pets and apply a little bit of science to the fireside, if you like, to the pet home where people live. And obviously not the kind of science where you have dogs in laboratories being exposed to sometimes unkind treatment.
And the behavioral therapy that you just mentioned, I read that on your website under your bio as well. And was that a relatively new concept in the veterinary profession back then?
In the UK, absolutely new, but not in the United States. In America, there was a really leading inspirational work and writing by a scientist, teacher, veterinarian, academic called Benjamin Hart, over in California. And Victoria Voith also was a veterinarian practitioner who got really interested in applying a more scientific approach to treating common everyday problems in pets, like aggression and house soiling and relationships between dogs and people, especially social animals, that they are, and their social problems. There were some real pioneers in America, and their writing, their work inspired me to do the same in little old England.
Well, I want to fast forward to 2015, and your website obviously has more than the Halti on there. So are you still creating and inventing, and what products should we look for when we visit your website?
I hope so. Actually, one of our number one bestsellers is something called the Pet Corrector. And a pet corrective is just a hiss of gas that I'd probably frighten some of your listeners by doing that over the radio. You're used to me doing shh over the radio. But actually, it's a very simple sound, which I've found very useful to break up dog fights, because, I do tend to be on the sharp end dealing with dogs that are really, really naughty. And we use actually a fire extinguisher to break up dog fights.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of carrying a 40, 50 pound steel fire extinguisher in your lady's handbags, we need to miniaturize it to something that's about 3 or 4 inches tall, and voila. But so that's been a great commercial success. But also, because again, I work with aggressive dogs, they deserve treatment and time and energy. And so I've got a range of muzzles which are treat-friendly, so we can train dogs using reward-based methods with the Baskerville Ultra muzzle, which has been a big... It's opened the door, really, to allowing dogs that are, for whatever reason, learn to bite people or bite other dogs, to saying, hey, you don't do that. That's not the way to behave. You're meant to be a nice guy. And so, really... Just as we should be looking at reform for people who are violent, then I'm looking to reform dogs who are violent.
Oh, I applaud you for that, because we kind of live in a throwaway society, and I think our consciousness has been raised over the years for a lot of these animals through, you know, whatever they've, you know, been dealt a bad lot, that you feel that most of these can be rehabilitated.
Indeed. Such a high proportion of the dogs that end up in dogs' homes and rescue rehoming centres do present behavioural problems, or they did present a behavioural problem to somebody who was too stupid or not patient enough to, to work around and overcome that behavioural problem. And it could be just something like house soiling, or being excitable, or pulling on the lead, or going off and chasing other dogs, or chasing sheep in my country. And the methods to overcome these problems are well researched, well understood, well written about by people like me and others. So let's get out there and adopt a rescue dog. Don't buy a puppy in a pet store, and don't buy a puppy that's being raised on a puppy farm. But if you're looking to have a new dog, go and take on somebody else's mistake and throw away, because I've had 5, 6 of my 10 or more dogs that have had in my life, and they've all been special, but they've, the most special were the ones that were not so lucky and came from rescue.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right on the same thing that Animal Radio and Fido Friendly Magazine, we're big proponents for rescue, and we go cross country every year with a pet adoption tour called Get Your Licks on Route 66. So we're right there with you. And I don't know. It sounds like we should come to England and do you have anything like Route 66 there that's very famous? Maybe we could go down there together and help rescue animals.
Yeah. There's some, I'd say, as in the States, the animal rescue organizations like the Dogs Trust or Battersea Dogs Home or the People's Dispensary, PDSA and so on, they raise enormous sums of money. They're very wealthy charities, and thankfully these charities in the UK are sufficiently wealthy to export some of their attitude and practical help to other countries in less fortunate in Eastern Europe, where there is a real crisis in dog ownership. Ukraine, Lithuania, some of the southern European countries where there's a lot of unlucky dogs, so the Brits and other North Europeans, the Dutch and the Germans, are trying to help out and raise standards across the world.
Yeah, it's important, and we all need to do this together. And I need to ask, because you've been in the pet industry for quite some time, has anything surprised you, or are you happy about in that progress that has been made in the pet industry, be it food or how we treat our companion animals?
Well, I was really interested in totally in support of the sponsors for the show, feeding raw food, albeit dehydrated raw food. There are some awful diets out there, and what has really upset me is the way in which the veterinary profession has joined in the marketing efforts of some terrible, terrible industrial, usually dry but also canned dog foods. And I think nutrition is the number one area for a better approach to dealing with our pets. And I'm a big proponent of bath, raw food, natural feeding. The other thing that bothers me about the pet industry, when you say, oh, where's the dog training section in an American pet store? One immediately thinks of shock collars or maybe spike collars or some other really abusive, cruel thing. Doesn't happen in the UK. Nobody buys shock collars here. Though they're unfortunately still legally can be sold, but people simply don't buy them. And, why would you do that to your best friend? But it's 2 million shock collars or shock devices sold in America every year. And I think that's absolutely terrible. I nearly used the, to give the pun,
because
the word shocking. I've come to America where I've been obviously living in America and working in America for many, many years. But since we brought my company of animals to the U.S., I felt that we had to be a little bit evangelical about more kind ways of treating our best friends.
Yeah, it's important. And like I said, we all have to do our part. And before I let you go, I wanted to ask if there was anything new that we could expect to see from the company of animals. Do you have anything new that you're working on?
Well, there was a little guy about 120 years ago. You've heard Ivan Ivanovich Pavlov, the famous guy who studied classical conditioning in dogs. Some of the experiments weren't very kind, actually, to dogs, but anyway, we understood that dogs salivate when they hear a bell, when they're expecting food. And so we've got a new product called Fubler, which does just that. It's a timed feeder. I'm very interested in not only food, better diets, but also how we present food. And I was the person who introduced the green slow feeder to the States a couple of years ago. We've won many, many awards. And the green slow feeder makes a meal for a dog last 20 minutes instead of 20 seconds, should we say that. And this new Fubler will be a time feeder with a bell that can be designed to go on at, say, 20-minute intervals or one-hour intervals, even when the dog is alone and the owner is away at the office or having fun. The dog still has a focus on food. So those are new things. And we're designing, we've got a new and better designed Halti, which is more comfortable and more simple. And we're also looking at ways in which we can interface the lives of people with the lives of the pets through the internet. So that's just coming and around the corner.
Oh, good. That's exciting. I'd be very interested in that, in the Fugla. I think I have a lab and a boxer, both rescues, and they pretty much demolish, especially the lab. I mean, he just is born to eat, I guess. But I'd be very interested for them to be a guinea pig if you need any.
There's one in the post for you right now.
Oh, good.
I've also got a Labrador. My Labrador's called Bounce, and Bounce is called Bounce because he kept bouncing in and out of rescue.
Oh, and no.
He bounced into our lives, and I just gave him 100 acre farm to run around in instead of a, you know, pocket.
Perfect.
He's gone. And, but he's, we use him in a lot of our advertising and presentation of Halti and of the Ultra Muzzle. He's a pretty yellow lab on the packaging of the Baskerville Ultra Muzzle. And he's such a gentle dog, and you can't understand how some foolish person wanted to give him up to be rehomed.
He probably shed it or something, you know, something silly like that.
Yes, but they live for food. And why is it that some breeds, like beagles too, are just so food focused? And
I don't know.
It's unkind because we have to virtually starve them all the time so that they stay healthy.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited about that. And Dr. Muckford, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I know it's dark 030 where you are, and I want to thank you so much for what you do for our animal friends, and wish you continued success in everything you do. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
And I love you, Sharon. It's a great honor to be with you. Good night.
Thank you so much. For more information, please log on to thecompanyofanimals.us. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will visit with someone special who is an author, a restaurateur, dog mom to six dogs, and knows the way to a healthy, happy pooch. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Hi, I'm Junior, Director of Marketing for Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for us dogs. I have the best job in the world, sniffing out hotels and destinations where they roll out the red carpet for canines and humans alike. To find out where I've been lately and to learn how you can travel like me, pick up a copy of Fido Friendly magazine at your local bookstore or subscribe online at FidoFriendly.com to find out what all the barking's about.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is brought to you by the Fess Parker Hotel, a DoubleTree by Hilton Resort in Santa Barbara, where both you and Fido receive a cookie at check-in. I met our next guest. I'm just pleased as punch that she was able to join me. But I met her, believe it or not, on a vegan yoga cruise. She is an author of several books, restaurant owner, and healthy lifestyle advocate. This is Sonia Suzuki. Hi, Sonia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susan, and the Fido Radio listener.
You know, I don't know where to start. You have such an interesting background, but we don't have an hour show. So let's talk about your new book, Healthy Happy Pooch, that you just finished, why you felt compelled to write it, and what is it all about?
Okay. Well, first, I want to say thank you for inviting me to your radio show. I am very, very excited.
Okay? Good.
Okay. Well, it started about 1 year after I got ovarian cancer and changed my diet and lifestyle in 1994. And I knew one of my dogs had skin problems and arthritis, but she did not get better no matter what I did, all the recommendation that the vet gave me. And I thought whole foods, plant-based microbiotic helped me to heal myself, so it may work for my dogs. And that was starting, and I never even thought about writing a book, but as turned out, the cooking for my dogs became my passion. And my dog got better and healthier. And I'm really, really happy to share the, what I've been doing over 20 years now.
That's pretty amazing. And I, you know, I really, I'm going to spring this on you, but do you have, can you give us like one recipe that really would get us start salivating?
Well, there are several recipes, but what I did was, you know, I had to learn that what's the difference of dogs and human things. So I took that natural pet nutrition classes and the red, lots of different books for the dog nutrition and health. So I came up with a base meal plan for dogs. Okay, so that would be the probably the most good things that I can share. Is that okay?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Okay. So first of all, you know, when everybody's trying to change the diet for yourself or dogs and make something complex things to more easier. So I would recommend you to make something that you're already making, you know, like you don't need to be vegan. Okay, my book talks about that, but you can just mix with the organic meat, which has no hormones and no antibiotic, you know. Mm-hmm. And also something that you already feeding your dogs and adding some food, you know, that you making. Let's say you might like sweet potatoes and you chop up the sweet potatoes or puree the sweet potato and add into your dog food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Making gradual introduction is the best way to do it. So.
Mm-hmm. Now that makes sense because I think sometimes it's overwhelming for people, especially if they're not following a plant-based diet and then they think, oh no, how am I going to do all this? But, you know, I think our dogs love, they welcome, you know, new things. And like my dogs, my boxer and my lab, they eat the bell peppers and they love, cucumbers. That's the latest thing that my lab just loves. So every time I'm cutting up a cucumber, he just sits there. And the boxer not crazy about it, but the lab is. So I think it's just a matter of trial and error.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on the dogs what they favorite. Like, you know, my favorite and my husband's favorite food's a little different too.
Mm-hmm.
So dogs has like I call dognality. Personality, I call dognality. I love the way, you know, I came up with dognality. They have different dognalities.
That's cute.
Yeah, exactly. So some, you know, some of my dogs love to eat more beans. Some love to eat fruits. And they're all different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so find what they like. If they don't like something, don't keep giving them. But you find something they like to eat. Most of dogs love to eat beans, okay? Mm. So you cook the beans or you buy the organic canned beans already cooked.
Oh.
And that would be good to mash or puree and adding to the whatever the food you're giving.
Uh-huh.
So that's the proper start, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then puree your carrots or like sweet potato or, you know, any beta carotene like a butternut squash will be very, very good too.
Mm-hmm.
Add in there. And then give moist, especially if if your listener using dry food, then give more moist to their food.
Mm-hmm.
They do need to have more moist in their food if they're eating the dry food for, you know, many years or, you know, a few months or whatever it is. That's not mm-hmm. really natural, isn't it, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's and for people that are time poor, or they feel, you know, they've worked all day, and maybe they are cooking for themselves, they may not be cooking that healthy for themselves either. So we have to remember that's, you know, could be the trick. So maybe that would help both the human and the canines that they start kind of.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. I heard many times that my clients, they didn't eat the good food, but they do for their dogs. Yeah, and they do for their dogs, and then they realize that, oh my God, we can eat the same food, and they lose weight, or they get healthier, they get more energy, and it's really a great result, you know? Uh-huh. Dogs always keep helping us, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that you have six dogs. You haven't always had six dogs. So I guess we should talk about that. And were they guinea pigs for the book? I mean, these recipes, obviously you had to try them out on these guys. So were they guinea pigs?
Well, I did not think that I was using them as a guinea pig, but, result, you can say yes, you know. Because now I wrote a book and it's coming out in the public. So, yeah, and it definitely they were very good guinea pigs. Yeah, and then they did well, you know, very well. And then they were very good taste, you know, checking all the new things. And then they get very curious. They're all around the kitchen, most of them. And then they eat everything that I drop. You know? Yes, and they lick everything so good. So it was so much easier to wash dishes.
I was going to say you have a clean kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a dishwasher anyway. So they were the first stage of, you know, hand dishwashing. Cleaned all the plates. Yes.
Yeah,
but it's a fun kitchen here. You can imagine six dogs here looking at you like, okay, what is next to for us to taste?
Well, I think that's, you know, it's kind of what you've done. You know, obviously you've taken your experience and you've applied, you know, what's made you healthy and made you well, and you've applied that to our furry best friends. And I think sometimes people are just afraid to change, and, you know, nothing is constant but change, but people resist it all the same. And so, you know, you've kind of given some good advice, just kind of take it slow. And if there was one or two things that you would say for people just to kind of stick with, are you saying beans should be really one of them, and then maybe what else?
Yeah, well, if you see that there are some of the dogs are very picky too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have this picky dog. Her name is Happy. And yes. And she just smells, and if she doesn't like it, she walk away. Okay, like for instance, she does not like raw carrot. I did not understand that. But when I cooked, she likes it. When I dehydrate carrots, she loves it. Okay. So you need to find, you know, it's like having your own children, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So what is it? What's going on? And then she just look at me like, I don't think this is going to work. And then I say, okay, let me try something different way. Or like, they all don't like just if I give them lettuce, okay? And they look at me like, okay, there's no taste to this.
Uh-huh.
But if I mix the tahini dressing,
ooh,
they love it.
Oh.
Yes.
I didn't think of that.
Yes. So, like, most of them love kale if I chop them. And some of them, they don't care. I just give as a kale it is, the whole leaf.
Really?
One of the dog, his name is Leo, and then the other one, Boo Boo. They will eat as it is. Okay? They don't care. But ladies are a little picky. So they look at me like, are you giving me this kale whole thing? Can you chop them? So I chop, and if I give them, they love it.
Oh, my gosh. You must spend a lot of time preparing.
Oh, well, yeah, you think so, but it's organization.
Oh, there you are.
Success is organizing. It talks about in my book.
Uh-huh.
Because people always ask, how do you do that? You really, really need to organize, right?
Yeah.
You organize your radio show. Very, very good. I know that. So just like anything, you know.
Well, and, we try. We'll ask Hal and Judy how they feel about that. But I saw on your website, seedkitchen.com, that May 16 will be a very special day for a couple of reasons. So what's going on?
Yes. One is one of the oldest dog, Kuda. She's having her birthday, 12 years old. And so I thought it would be great to have some celebration. 12 years is a good age. And she doesn't even look 12. She probably look 7 or 8.
Wow, okay? That's
for
amazing.
Dogs, that's a good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, what? She's 12? They don't understand it, you know. Yeah. So I thought that that's great. And we are also doing the publishing party. So good food for people, and I am going to introduce some dog maybe treat that I make, and it's in the book that the recipes. But so if they want to come with dog, they can stay outside in the patio area that 8 people can sit with dogs. So I thought that would be great to have a party. And doing the publishing for this book, and then book signing and things like that.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, I asked you the other day when you and I were talking, I asked you the other day if you ever thought your restaurant would offer a doggy menu, because those of us that, you know, take our dogs everywhere with us, we love that kind of thing. We would camp outside your door.
Yes, I love the idea, Susan. As a matter of fact, I told my husband after you told me.
Yes.
And this past weekend, he was making a new menu for the dogs that we can ship easily. We dehydrate all the food that we're making, so they can just mix it and put the water, something like that. It will come. I can tell. And then if they do come to our restaurant, then they can have the freshly made right there with dog family, right?
That's heaven. And your restaurant's in Venice, California, right?
That's right.
Right. Yes. You guys live in Santa Monica, but it's in Venice. So your book, Healthy Happy Pooch, when is it going to be available for our listeners, and where can we order it?
Yes. I'm pushing to come out, printing out May 16th for the party. If it's going to be delayed, it's just a little bit, but that's my goal. And people can pre-order right now at healthyhappypooch.com or seedkitchen.com. And once the book is available, it is going to be on Amazon also.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I want to wish you lots of luck with your book and everything that you do. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so great meeting you. Okay.
Same here, Sonia. And I know we'll be back in touch. But until then, thanks so much. Say hi to Eric for me.
Yes, I will. I enjoy so much. And all the dogs are here with me.
Oh, give them hugs for everybody from Animal Radio.
I will. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. For more information, log on to healthyhappypooch.com. or visit seedkitchen.com. That's it for Fido Friendly Travel Talk. And for more information on today's show, or just about traveling with Fido, you can pick up a copy of Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. We're at Barnes & Noble's, Borders, or simply go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio Network.